Today, brothers and sisters, I want to talk to us about the importance of a chair. And when I was growing up, if you were to come to the Schuster household for dinner, each of us had our own seat, our own chair, where we sat for dinner. If you were to go into our living room, my father had his own chair on which he sat. Whenever I went to my grandparents' place, I remember this vividly. Each grandfather had his own chair on which he sat. And today, everyone, in the first reading, we hear about the chair of Moses. And you may ask yourself, well, what does that mean? The chair of Moses means two things. First of all, it was a place, an actual chair, where people could come and they could ask the religious leaders questions pertaining to the Bible, pertaining to the law. The same is true of me. I'm a religious leader. So what I've done today is I put up this chair, and I'm going to sit in that chair for a moment and pretend these are questions that you may come and you may ask me on the Bible. So I'm going now, everyone, to the chair of Moses. Okay? You come forward. These are some questions that you could bombard me with. Then the title of the book by Matthew Pinto, Father Schuster, did Adam and Eve really have belly buttons or not? We used to read that Peter asked Jesus the question, how many times must I forgive my brother? 70 times, 7 times? Now I read 77 times, which is right. Where do we learn about purgatory in the Bible? Which gospel was written first, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? Is it okay to call Father Schuster father or not? If Jesus died on Good Friday and rose on Easter Sunday, how can we claim that Jesus spent 3 days in the tomb? Are there only 144,000 in heaven from the book of Revelation? Why is the God of the Old Testament so seemingly violent? Am I saved? In reference to Adam and Eve and their story of the original sin, how can a serpent speak? You see, as a religious leader, this was the purpose of the chair. You could come, ask the question, and from the question, I would answer it. Okay? Chair of Moses, seat where people could write questions on the law and the Bible. But people, there was another purpose to that seat. And it was this, it was also a judgment seat. So let me give you an example of that. We'll use a little child's story. When I was growing up, everyone, my brother, 6 years younger than me, he had this fascination with motorcycles. As a matter of fact, every time everyone, he'd see a motorcycle, he'd yell out, sick, sick. So one thing that he always wanted for Christmas, everyone, was a sick. Okay, a motorcycle, not a real one. I'm sure he would have been satisfied with that, but as a kid, he was happy with a toy. Well, we used to have this tradition where we went to Mankato as a family before Christmas. So one time, my mom and dad went in the store, and they bought him a toy, everyone. It had three wheels, it had a seat, and it had pedals. And they bought it for my brother for Christmas. But you see, everyone, it was so big, everyone, that they couldn't fit it in a, they could put it in a bag, but the wheels were sticking out. And so as they walked out, sure enough, you know, my brother always catching on everything. He sees the wheels and he starts out yelling out, sick, sick. And sure enough, guess what he gets for Christmas? He gets a sick. Okay? Now, as we know with children, what can happen? Sometimes they can get into this debate of saying this, it's mine, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. So now it's time for you to come to Father Schuster, who's now going to sit on the chair of judgment, and I'm going to give you my ruling. All right? So back we go. You come forward, everyone. You bring your case. I've got two kids. They're fighting over this toy, and they say, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Father, rule on this. So what would I probably do? I'd probably bring in the parents and I'd say, whose is it? But you know something, everyone? It's not really the case of it's mine, it's mine. It's really a case of sharing. So what I might rule is this. You get to use it, play with it for this long. You get to play with it this long, mindful of the one who is the owner. Now remember, when you come to this chair of judgment, what you have to realize is this. What I say is the rule moving forward. You want me to judge? I judge. And what I judge is what now goes forward. Okay, now I'm going to move to the other chair, the chair where I sit in, and we're going to talk a little bit about this chair. Now, brothers and sisters, you have to realize in my years as parochial vicar and pastor, I've sat in many different chairs like this. Okay? And what's it like to sit in this chair? I'll share with you a few things today. First of all, it's always amazing what you see. You see people, everyone, cry. You see people faint. Or people come up to you afterward and they kid you and they say, Father, your homily must have been so bad that they fainted. Okay? You see people sleep. You see people smile. You see people who can't sleep because of what's going on in their life. Okay, you see people, everyone, believe it or not, money raining down from the balcony to be put in the usher's basket. But remember, everyone, it is from this seat that we are also asked to preach. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, when we preach, sometimes what we say, everyone, hits people right in the heart. Sometimes when we preach, everyone, people... You know, you think you've written this great homily, you look out and you can see people don't get it. But I'll tell you this, the hardest homily to preach is the one that you know what you're going to say is probably going to mean that people are going to walk away. Remember John chapter 6. Go home and read it today. Jesus gives the bread of life gift course. He says, eat my body, drink my blood. What does he say at the end? He says, some of them say it's too much. And what does Jesus say? Then you have to go. No servant is greater than the master. If it happened to Jesus, realize this. If you preach the truth, sometimes it's going to happen to you too. People, I've been a priest 22 years. The other thing I can say from this chair is this. It's fascinating how the numbers have declined from when I was first ordained. On October 8th and 9th, we took the mass count for resurrection. It was 1,167 people in this church for the four masses. Resurrection is composed of roughly 3,600 people. Okay? You can do the math. We realize today that less than one-third of people attend mass. Now, people will say, Father, I was traveling that weekend. I understand. But you have to realize we probably had visitors here as well. The numbers are declining. I can see that. And yet, you know what you have to remember too? What's it like for you to see the man in this chair? You know, you realize this, everyone. Some have been young, some have been old. Some are introverts, some are extroverts. Some have come with a full head of hair, and some come with gray hair, everyone, and receding hairlines. Okay? Some you've liked, some you probably haven't. Some are still alive. Some have died. You get it. But you know what's fascinating through it all? Is you've stayed faithful. It's an amazing story. The scandals you've seen, the temptations that priests have fallen to, the sins. As a matter of fact, look at the questions of today's gospel. Are there times people preach but don't practice? Undoubtedly. Are there times when we can carry heavy burdens in our words and the people ask, but what about you, Father? Yes. Are there times it can be about show and not the good of the gospel? Probably. We've learned one thing, we're far from perfect, and yet through it all, everyone, what's marvelous is this, you still support your priests. And you know why? Maybe the reality is this simple. Without someone in this chair, it is harder to attain the gift of Jesus Christ. What if this chair were empty? What would you do? And you know something? There's something else to think. What do you think it would be like for a priest if he didn't have people? If I got here and there was nobody here today, what do you think that would be like? The reality is this: people need priests, priests need people, and the fact that you're here today, everyone, and many of your friends might be doing all kinds of different things, I just want to say thank you today. People, we're in this together. We're in this together. We all want the same thing. We all want to be with Jesus Christ. Just pray for Father Sean and myself, and remember this too. We pray for you as well. So in gratitude, everyone, for your faithfulness and your faith, and to those who have sat in this seat and who sit in this seat, I want to ask for my gratitude to you today. And so let's take a moment and let us pray for the gift of each other.